you so much. Well, we're finishing up this year, and as pastors, it's always like, what do we preach on the last day? Because you usually finished up Advent, and we haven't started a new series yet. And I was reading not too long ago out of 2 Chronicles. So if you would take your Bibles and go ahead and find 2 Chronicles, and we're going to be looking at chapter 20 in the time that we have. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And let me set this up a little bit. 2 Chronicles 20 is talking about a pretty dire situation and how King Jehoshaphat and the Israelites responded. So before we go there into that time period, let's just think about this morning even. This morning, you know, it's some of us are tired after a couple weeks of, you know, whether vacation or at least a irregular routine. Again, some have been at conventions, some have been traveling with family or to see family and things. So we're tired. And then this morning as you wake up, you hear this rain coming down. And you, if you checked the weather report, you knew it was going to be cold. So cold and rain, all you want to do is just stay in bed, right? You just want to stay, if you're honest, you just want to stay in bed, right? And it's like it would be a perfect day to just sleep, you know, and to rest and to catch up. And for some, perhaps in here, not only physically did you want to stay in bed, perhaps mentally and emotionally, spiritually, it was not easy to get up. It's been a rough year for some. There's been trials. There's been situations you've been put in where it really stretched your faith. It really emotionally drained you. It really taxed you intellectually as you tried to figure out. And most of those things probably have to do with people. Things like a job and, you know, paying the bills and stuff, that's stressful. But truly, one of the most stressful things in life is interacting with other people. It may be family, like Fiona shared. You know, sometimes it's with family that our greatest tensions are there. And it just drains us. On the one hand, you know, we love each other. We're family. God put us together. And yet, you want to go from China to the United States to be as far as possible. And that is a tension that perhaps you're in. And where, yeah, physically, it was hard to get up. But spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, it wasn't a piece of cake either. For some, this time of year is rough. There's some people who are not at church today, not because they're traveling, but it's just hard to move during this time. Christmas is a sad time for them. They think of family. They think of friends. They think of what they had. They think of what they don't have. And so this is a tough time of year. And the phrase that jumped out to me, and we'll look in a little bit, I like to read sometimes the Quiet Time in different versions. So the phrase that was used in New Living Translation was, go out there tomorrow. I was like, that's a really curious phrase. It doesn't really flow. Go out there tomorrow. So I'd like to bring you together with me into this story, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to pray right now, and we'll look at a passage, and then we'll unpack a little bit before and a little bit after. And my prayer as your pastor is that you'll be able to take something from here so that this phrase, go out there tomorrow, is not just okay, I got to go back to work or whatever. It's going out there tomorrow with passion, with joy, with an understanding of who you are, and with an understanding of who God is. So I invite you to bow your heads with me. Let's pray together and ask for God to continue to lead us in this worship service. Our Father, we come to you acknowledging first of all that we are broken people. We are sinners. We're imperfect. We're masterpieces. You've promised us that we are your masterpiece, but we're still in process of becoming a masterpiece. There's a lot of flaws. There's a lot of ouches along the way. There's a lot of hurts. There's wounds that are not even identified, much less healing. Lord, there's anger. And then on the other side, Lord, there's joy. There's people today, a few couples that just recently got married, they're back and they're settling in. And there's a lot of joy and there's a lot of changes and there's a lot of unknowns. And so, God, we come to you today, and just as we finish out this year and as we hopefully will take some time to ponder 2018, Lord, we look to 2019 and just wonder what's going to happen. And I pray that today's passage will powerfully encourage us or convict us, Lord, And we'll be able to hear you say, go out there tomorrow for you, for the plans that you have laid out before us, because of who you've made us to be, how you've created us to be, and the plans that you have set before us, Lord. We want to understand you better. So use this passage from your word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. May the ears and hearts of each person sitting in the pews be acceptable to you. And we pray this in your powerful name. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to first read verses 13 through 19. We're going to just jump right into the middle here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 13. Please follow along. I'm reading from English Standard Version. It says this: meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat, the king, bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. A little bit of background. Okay, probably a lot of bit of background, actually. As you look back at the beginning of this chapter, let me just read this too. It'll probably explain a lot. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them, some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Now, for us, we don't know who these people are. We don't know how big they were or how strong they were. But for Judah, for King Jehoshaphat, it struck fear. All right? Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming. Okay, why do they have to throw in the word great? All right? A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. There's an invasion coming from a formidable enemy. There's a coalition of two or three people groups that are coming together. They have one thing in common. They did not like Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. That's what brought them together. I don't know if normally they had, you know, Christmas parties or anything together, but here they are. They're brought together. It's a great multitude. They're warriors, and they're coming to fight Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. What was the reason for this invasion? What was the reason for this invasion? As we read here, one thing, not so much from this coalition's viewpoint, but from God's viewpoint and from Judah and Jehoshaphat's viewpoint, what was the reason for this? Because in other chapters, chapter 19 and other chapters, there was things where Judah did where they sinned. You know, we're in the Chronicles, right? So there's all these stories of Israel sinned, Judah sinned, then God brought in some foreign powers, sort of spanked them and punished them some. They turned back to God. But this one, it doesn't seem like this account is in response to a sin, as far as we can tell. So it's sort of like, you know, Jehoshaphat is like, I'm trying to follow you, God. And there's just another, this is the same pattern. Somebody's coming to invade us. It seems, and as we go through the story, that God allowed this invasion as an opportunity to show them again who he was, to prove his salvation. He wasn't using this to punish the people. We think of Job in the Bible, where he, as far as we know, he was a righteous man, didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't recorded anyway. And all these terrible things happened. He lost all of his business, his wealth, He ended up losing family members. They were killed. Many of his children, all of his children were killed just because of a freak storm that came and collapsed that one house they were all in. Then he had friends come, and then they didn't really comfort him. They, you know, like, who needs friends like these guys? But that was Job. He had done nothing wrong. And maybe you might say, I have been trying to follow God. In fact, I'm at the point I'm trying to decide whether it is worth it to follow God. Maybe that's where you are. Jehoshaphat and Judah would absolutely understand how you feel. Because there is a great multitude coming. They weren't coming here to negotiate. They were coming to destroy them. So this is the situation. There was a very profound and crucial response that we need to see here. And as we read here, Jehaziel spoke, right? Then verse 18, this was the response. There was a response. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then they worshiped with a very loud voice. But this is doesn't mean they weren't afraid anymore. Okay, with their fears, they were coming. The king and all of Judah came together to seek the Lord. That was the first thing they did. And there's many applications that you can make in today's message. I'm not going to be able to cover all of them, and I'm not God. I'm just a messenger today. But I do want to just slip this into you. What do you do? What is your first response when there's fear? When anxiety starts to creep into your heart, you can know it, you feel it. What do you do? As we look at what Jehoshaphat and Judah did, they turn immediately to the Lord. The words is they were seeking the Lord. It wasn't they just turned to him. They were actively seeking him because they knew he had the answer. He had what they would need. And friends, sometimes because of the world we live in, that God has allowed us to live in Austin, Texas, to live in the United States, sometimes God is not the first one we turn to. Sometimes Christians are not even the first ones we turn to. God's word is not the first thing we turn to. But we see from this example, this is exactly what we should do. We first seek the Lord. It could be, nobody can tell maybe in your expression, maybe you're in a meeting at your business and something is coming and you know this is not good. You can feel in your heart it's tightening. Or you might be in class. You might be talking to your spouse. You might be interacting with your children and you realize, This is not going the right way. And you can sense something. What do you do at that moment? What do I do at that moment? The profound and crucial response should be we seek the Lord. And now let's look at the prayer. Okay, this, again, still part of the background to what our text was. The prayer, verses 5 through 12. Please follow along. It's pretty long here, but it's really simple to read, okay? In front of the assembly, Jehoshaphat prayed. And notice, I'll just tell you ahead of time, his prayer is rooted in the facts of the past, and he applies them to the facts of the present. Let me say that again. Jehoshaphat's prayer that I'm about to read for you, it is rooted in the facts of the past in order to be applied to the facts of the present. Okay? Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and this is what he said. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand our power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it. And have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. You see, this is him looking back, praying facts that are rooted in the past about God. Okay? Let's note that. Now, verse 10, and now behold, coming to the present, now behold, God, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and he just sort of threw this in, who you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Verse 12, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Note the contents of this prayer, just real quickly, just some things that we notice. First, he acknowledged who God was, who God is, who God was, right? He acknowledged that clearly in this prayer. Remember, he is praying as the king and leader of his nation. He is reminding them, and they're all listening, and they're being reminded also about the facts from the past. Acknowledge who God is, present tense. Remembering what God has done, who he is, what he has done. They prayed this. And then they gave the petition, King Jehoshaphat. He just said it real simply, and it was probably really powerful words. God, you execute judgment on them. I said, ooh, that's so harsh. Okay, I think we don't think God can handle our prayer requests sometimes. You might say, well, Pastor, aren't we supposed to be right with God and have a thought through before we ask things? Because that's why we're usually supposed to deal with our parents and our friends. You know, we don't want to confuse people. God can process it. He'll process it with you. And right now, Jehoshaphat, he is afraid, but he's making the right choices to turn to God. He says, God, execute judgment. May justice reign. God, you show yourself mighty. That was his petition. That was the only thing I could see here as far as a phrase, a petition. Because he had a very, number four, I want to point out, there was an acknowledgement of who God is, a remembering of what God had done, a petition, and then there was a clear understanding of himself. There's a very clear understanding of who Jehoshaphat was. He said, we are powerless. He said, we are, he didn't use this word, but he said, we're overwhelmed. And then he said, we're confused. Okay? These are three states that I don't like to live in. I don't like to be powerless. I don't like to be overwhelmed. I don't like to be confused. I live there often, okay, but that is not a place where I normally like to live. And most of you probably would say, yeah, we worry about people who say, oh yeah, I just love being overwhelmed. You know, oh, I love being in a state of confusion. No. The more clear, some of you in here who are A-type personality or you're lion personality, you know, you want to know not only what's going on, you want to be the one that sets what's going to happen next for the next 10 years, okay? You know, you want to know what's going on. But here, Jehoshaphat clearly understood who he was. And in this situation, he came before God. He said, God, you execute judgment because we know why? I'm powerless. You know why, God? I'm overwhelmed. God, I am confused. He says here, we do not know what to do. There was an acknowledgement of who God is, remembering what God has done. There was a petition clearly stated. There was a clear understanding of who he was. And then there was a laser focus, a laser sharp focus. He ends and says, but our eyes are on you. God, our eyes are on you. I don't normally pray this way. The bad thing about being a pastor or being a teacher, when you prepare a lesson, you're like, oh yeah, I should do that. Why don't I pray this way? Why don't I take a moment to pause in the midst of my anxiety, in the midst of my stress, in the midst of my trial, in the midst of feeling overwhelmed? Why don't I first say, God, let me just pause here. You know, you've never failed me. You have been faithful from the beginning. In fact, I remember, if I could borrow from Fiona, I remember, God, when I barely talked to my parents, and now you have transformed me. You've transformed them to this point where now we talk two or three times a week. Thank you, God. In your lives, what has God done? How has he shown his faithfulness? You got plenty of things to complain about now, maybe, about your circumstance. But let's just give God credit where credit is due. What has he done? And I'll just even help you. Let's just look at 2018, okay? Some of us can't remember a whole lot beyond 2018 going back. But as we look at 2018, what has God done? And who is God? Who is this God that you say you worship? And don't just quote scripture verses to me. Really, who do you think, who do you understand God is? And maybe it's been so busy that you've forgotten. I'm not saying that you think you have this twisted image of our God. I'm just saying perhaps we've forgotten. So as we pray, do we need to dwell on who are you, God? You are a God who is holy. But you are also the God who is love. You are merciful and you are just. How does that work together? You care about me. You care about the world. You care that you are glorified, and yet you are a good God to me. Take that time as you pray. Be clear in your petition. Even if it's like, God, show me what's next. That was actually one of the prayers during CMC that we were challenged. Like, God, here's my life. The way one of the speakers said is, we just give God, we're sitting at the table with God, and we just have a paper, we write down, yes. God, whatever you say, here's my answer. It's yes. You want me to go overseas? Okay, yes. You want me to stay here and continue to be an engineer? Okay, here's a yes. You want me to study? Yes. You want me to change? You want me to drop out of school? Okay, here's a yes. You may not know exactly what the petition is, but if we don't ask, we don't receive. If we don't seek, we will not find. If we do not knock, the door will not be opened. So let's not just pray prayers that are fluffy or just like, oh, this is how I feel, God. This is how I feel, God. Do that. But also say, God, this is what I'm asking of you. Because he's big. He's way past Santa Claus. He can answer. He can answer. But we need to have a clear understanding of ourselves. And we need to have a laser-sharp focus to keep our eyes on him. So, again, this is our application. This is our application from his prayer, right? So that's all background. That's all background. What is the source of this message? The source of this message. Look at verse 13. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. And I'm not going to read all those names. And then verse 15, and he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. So it's like, okay, what is the source of this message? What's interesting is this guy named Jehaziel, as far as I can tell, as far as I've read, this is the only time we hear about this guy, Jehaziel. So we're hearing from him, or Judah and Jehoshaphat are hearing from him. But look even more closely, he says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And then at the end it says, verse 15, thus says the Lord to you. So Jehaziel was the one that they could see physically. But truly this message was from the Holy Spirit. It was from the Lord himself. You need to know what you're hearing. You need to decipher where the source is coming from. Maybe you're telling yourself things. Maybe your parents. Maybe your coworkers. Maybe the world through radio, through online, through the television, through movies is sending you. Sometimes we used to say subtle messages. They're not so subtle anymore. Okay? They're telling you how you should live, how you should spend your money, where you should go, where you should, how you should spend your time. What is the source of the message that you're hearing? We need to wrestle with that. Here, the Spirit of the Lord, he said, thus says the Lord, a messenger who we've never heard of and we never hear of again, Jehaziel. He had one job, and it set up God's people to witness an amazing miracle. So again, to whom do you listen? So we talked a little bit about a background. We talked a little bit about the source of the message. Now let's look at the message. Okay, let's look at the message. And we read this from God through the prophet to Jehoshaphat, to Judah, and I would like to submit to Austin Chinese Church this morning. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position. And see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And that's where in New Living Translation says, go out there tomorrow. Go out there tomorrow. This message, what were the contents? Twice he reminded them because he knew them and God knows us as he speaks to us through this word. Secondarily, he says, don't be afraid. even if there's a clear reason to be afraid. Don't be afraid. He wasn't saying, oh, that's not there. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Yes, circumstances now do not look good. Very bleak. Those of you, and this is not necessarily a judgment, okay? But for some of you, whenever the stock market burps going down, you feel tension. You get irritable to be around because it hits your heart. And my friend, when you feel that, when that, whatever the stock market or the Dow Jones or whatever, all these things, when it moves around like that, you know who is not moving around? God. He has promised you, I will supply all your needs. He's promised that. And you might say, Pastor, you can't put your head, you know, in the sand and all that. I honestly, there are people in my life, they check it all the time and they'll let me know. And sometimes I'll read the news and it's usually the first thing, right? Oh, it dropped, you know, how many points. I honestly, on my own, I actually don't check it very often. Yeah, there's some investments. Don't be afraid. Even if there's clear reason to be afraid. The second thing I noticed from the content of this message is don't take on what is not yours to take. Don't take on what is not yours to take. Some of you are fighting the battles and God's like, okay, when you're done, then I'll fight for you. But you keep getting in my way. Sometimes we have to just be still. There's actions that he'll tell us to do along the way, but a lot of times we just have to be still and know that he is God. But here he specifically said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. So what I take from this, don't take on what is not yours to take. Don't try to fix everything. Don't try to be the Messiah in people's lives. There are sometimes people who call me, and I'll get calls at maybe different times of the night, or you know, I'll get an email, and sometimes, and you could tell people want you right then. And to be honest, as I'm listening, what's going on in my heart is, God, is this a call you want me to take? Is this a visit you want me to do? Is this a person you want me to counsel? Because maybe it's not supposed to be me. But if I get this Messiah complex, oh yes, Pastor Gaylord, oh yes, PG is here. You know, look my shirt, PG. You know, it's like, that is just pride. That is arrogance. That is also sometimes disobedience. Sometimes we have to realize we should not take on what we don't need to take on, what God does not intend for us to take on. He says, stand firm and hold your position. Stand firm and hold your position. You know, whenever people hit really tough times, often what happens as far as church attendance, it drops. I don't know what it is. It's our nature. We withdraw when we are hurt. We withdraw when we are confused. The more stress in school, the more pain at work, the first thing that drops is this time slot in your life. Now, if people go to other churches, they say, oh, I can't see people at our church because they'll ask me how things are going, and I don't want to tell them because I don't want them to pray for me, which doesn't make sense. But, you know, they maybe went, maybe some of you go to other churches, but most often I will hear is people withdraw. Stand firm. Hold your position. Watch the Lord work on your behalf. That is the content of this message. The response to this message, again, I've read verse 18 and 19, and I won't read it again, but right there for you, there was humility because Jehoshaphat bowed his, this is the king putting his face to the ground. That is not a daily exercise. I mean, he wasn't working out. He was in humility in response to this message he just heard. He put his face to the ground. And as he set that example, Judah followed his example. They fell down before the Lord, not weeping. They didn't fall down before the Lord, stressed out. They fell down before the Lord, and scripture says they worshiped him loudly. And then the Levites said, hey, that's our cue. So they got up and led singing, I guess. But they got up, and their response to the content of this message was worship. They humbled themselves, they worshiped, and then they obeyed. Now the rest of the story, I'm going to have to summarize for you. It's great reading for a rainy afternoon, hypothetically. Verses 20 to 30, basically, Ammon and Moab, and Mount Seir, these guys, where they're from there. Let me see here. Basically, God fought the battle for them. So two out of the three started fighting each other. Okay? They started fighting each other, and after they wiped out one, then the third guy came in, they wiped out the rest of them. No Israelites were there. Judah was not there. Jehoshaphat wasn't there. They were still worshiping, I think, right? But as they obeyed, verse 20, as they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and told Judah, you know, what to do, believe in the Lord, trust in him, right? And then he appointed people to sing, right? And then they rose against each other and they basically destroyed each other, the enemy, okay? When the people obeyed, God worked. When the people trusted, God overwhelmingly met their needs and beyond. When they took action, let me explain that one. You see, after they wiped out each other, the enemy did, Jehoshaphat and Judah, when they showed up, it's like, okay, a lot of dead bodies here. But there was so much loot there, it took them 3 to 4 days to get it and bring it back. I mean, these guys weren't going to use it, right? God provided for their needs with food, with valuables, with all that stuff, and it took them several days, Scripture says. God not only met their need, he not only had justice for them, he provided way over beyond what they could ask or think. He does that all the time. He does that all the time. When they took action in obedience, God was glorified, magnified, and feared. Verse 28, when they came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries, okay, this is around them, when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. When the people trusted and obeyed, God gave them peace, he gave them quiet, he gave them rest. Now, who would not want that for 2019? Actually, the last couple days of 2018 would be good too, right? As we ponder this story, as you hear this phrase, tomorrow, okay, just take one day at a time. Go out there tomorrow. You're like, Pastor, I don't want to go out there tomorrow. I don't want to face tomorrow. I don't want to face 2019. This is going to be a rough year. I'm scared. I'm confused. I'm hurt. My friends, may something from this prayer and this story here resonate in your heart. Yes, you're not facing Ammon and Moab and those guys. So perhaps you are facing people in your life that are absolutely against you. I have friends in ministry where the people in the church are actively trying to get rid of the pastors. They are they're spreading gossip. They're going around trying to get rid of pastors. There are people who are like that are in those situations. And maybe at your work or your school or your neighborhood, there are people like that. But beyond people, you may be facing things where it says, God, I can't deal with this, the stress. I cannot deal with this family member. I don't know how to counsel. Let me just pull back my heart a little bit. As your pastor, there are certain things I do well and certain things I not only do poorly, I do really poorly. It's probably not the wisest thing to always share, but vision, strategy, and direction. Okay, Pastor, let's do that. That causes me anxiety. And yet, this is the right thing to do. 2019, there are things that we must strategize. There are things that we must look at. It helps to come from a missions conference. It helps us to get a little bit better perspective. But as we move forward, I do not look forward to this part of my job. Some of you are like, oh, this makes sense. Okay, now I understand you better. This is not a part of my job I enjoy. But as your pastor, I will do my very best. I have good people with me. And together we pray and seek God's face that ACC will be moving in the direction he wants us to go. But what do I do with that anxiety? What do I do with that stress? What do I do with any hurts that I might have? I have a message for me too. I need to go out there tomorrow in the power and strength of the Lord, of who he is, what he has done, and who I am in light of him. Go out there tomorrow. And we're going to take some time. I only have a few announcements. So music team, would you guys go ahead and come on up? But we're going to sing the song again, Build My Life. And here's just again some of the words. Sometimes when we sing, just get caught up in the melody. But I love this. The bridge says, "I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. As he's holy, there's none beside him." And the prayer through this song is, "Open up my eyes." I thought there was just so many words in this song that just match this. Because as the Israelites, as the people of Judah and Jehoshaphat, they prayed and they said, our eyes are upon you. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we come to you as people that are definitely blessed. And I realize this message maybe didn't come across that way, but we are so, so blessed. But God, this message was meant to just go into the trenches and the reality of where many people are. It's been a tough year, and 2019 is also going to be possibly tough. What are we going to do about that? To whom will we turn? I thank you for Jehaziel and his courage to share your message, not only to Jehoshaphat, the king, not only to Judah, but also today to Austin Chinese Church. So may your word take root in our hearts and produce the fruit that you desire. May we let go. May we not be irresponsible, but Lord, may we let go to you, our lives. May you be the one who builds our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.